This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening and for following us on Twitter at America Weekend or checking out our Facebook page as well. One of the things I try to do on this show is debunk things that you've heard on the internet. You read it somewhere. Some friends of yours told it. A bunch of people said it was true. But then, of course, it turns out not to be true. It's that whole mob mentality of the way things get passed around in this world. My next guest thinks about that sort of stuff, too. He wrote a book a couple of years ago called You Are Not So Smart, and now he has a new one called You Are Now Less Dumb, How to Conquer Mob Mentality, How to Buy Happiness, and All the Other Ways to Outsmart Yourself. David McRaney, welcome to America Weekend.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on here is because I saw a video that you and your crew put together about the walk, don't walk buttons in New York. Actually, it's the walk, don't walk signs, but the buttons that are on the poles at street corners in New York City that people push, even though, and I didn't know this until I saw your video, they haven't worked for years.
Right. It's a great illustration of one of the things I write about in the book called the post hoc fallacy. But yeah, I think the last time that someone really did a check, it was around 70% of those buttons have been disconnected, about 2,500 out of around 3,300 buttons. So some of them work, but most of them don't. And it sort of illustrates the value of what the scientific method does for you. If you were able to test it each time, you'd know exactly whether or not you were doing it and it was having an effect. But without doing some sort of little study on yourself, you will proceed in ignorance. And that's sort of the value of science to destroy the post hoc fallacy, which is after this, therefore because of this. And we see it all over the place in daily life, people doing things and seeing an effect and thinking that the two are connected when they're not.
Yeah, that whole notion of, well, I did this and then that happened, so I caused that to happen. We even hear it in people saying, oh, I dreamed about you last night and then you called me this morning. Even in our personal connections, people make that assumption that actually isn't there, right?
Right. I like to mention in the book, the way I illustrate it is I talk about the power balance bracelets. Have you ever seen those things? The little rubber bands that people
wear. Oh, I've talked about them many times on this show. What a ripoff.
Right. It's amazing because the year that they went bankrupt in 2011, they made $34 million. And they would that company was buying an arena in California and had a deal with the NBA. And Bill Clinton wore one. And it's sort of an amazing thing that in the 2010s that people still believe in magical amulets that are being made in factories. Like, you have to take the leap that maybe these factories all employ wizards that hit the bracelets with their wand as it comes across the assembly line to give it its magical powers so that it will give you balance or whatever. We're all fortunate that an Australian court finally sued them, and they hit them with a $67 million lawsuit, and they had to come out and say that, no, there is no actual evidence that this works. But it's amazing to me that that is something that every once in a while someone will come up with this great way to play on our inability to see the difference between cause and effect. That old post hoc fallacy can come around again, and somebody can make millions of dollars off of people's natural tendency to see patterns and things like that. And you have to ask yourself, what else in your life is being played on in that way? Is it some sort of alternative medicine, some sort of superstitious belief, some sort of remedy that maybe you use? There are many things in life that will fall into that category of that post hoc fallacy.
And by the way, let's give credit to Richard Saunders and the Australian Skeptic Society, which pressed the case there and took it to court and got power balance declared illegal in Australia and put the company out of business. I wish I could say that there weren't others who picked up that ripoff and ran with it, but there are still people doing that in malls and other places around the country, and I've walked past them and I see people completely falling for it, and I even heard a woman say, look, it must work, it has a hologram.
Yeah, it has. Anything with a hologram is magic. What's probably the most repugnant thing about what's going on there is that they said, and the Wall Street Journal did a little report about them a year or two back that said that the company has decided to go into China and other markets that are less skeptical of alternative medicine. So they're not going to give it up. They're going to keep going and try to keep that money rolling in.
Let me ask you about a couple of other things you write about in the book. Speaking of fallacies, what is the sunk cost fallacy?
Well, this is a really interesting fallacy. We're all prone to this. This is part of how the mind naturally works. And, you know, in our personal lives, one-on-one or with a small group of people, it's not really that harmful. But when you scale it up to the level of countries and businesses, it can be very harmful. So sunk costs are basically an investment or a cost, a payment that can never be recovered, yet you will engage in behavior that is irrational to try to make up for the fact that you don't want to feel like you wasted that money or you wasted that investment. So you can imagine in a very simple version of that would be, say, you buy a really bad taco and a bad $10 taco, and you decide to go ahead and eat it because, well, I don't want to waste $10. But it doesn't matter. You can never get that money back. It's gone forever. And, you know, a computer, a robot mind would never, ever make that sort of mistake. It wouldn't say, well, you know, I have to make up for the fact that I lost that money. I have to feel better about the fact that I spent that money. But humans do it all the time. And when you scale that up to the level of, say, a war that can't be won, or a public policy that is not effective and it's just costing money, or in the book I read about the building of the Concorde aircraft, where it was very evident early on to the engineers that they would never make back the money it was going to cost to invent and produce this product. But they continued anyway because they didn't want to feel like they had gone forward in vain. So it's one of those things that if you don't know about it, it can pop up late in the process and can cause you to do some very irrational, costly things. But the research suggests that if you inform people about this fallacy that exists and how it works, and you incorporate it into the beginning of a planning process, that you'll be more likely to abandon a project early on that could have cost you a whole lot later on.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you should mention things like that, because I talk often on this show about public policies that are made based on no evidence, but based on, well, we better do this just in case. For example, the ban for the last decade or so on electronics on planes, you know, turn off your iPad, turn off your iPhone, turn off anything that has an on-off switch, your Kindle, whatever it is, because it could interfere with the plane's navigation systems. There was never any evidence that that worked, but it became a policy, and it wasn't until a month ago that the FAA reversed itself and said, oh, now you can keep those on there. But those things propagate and then stick around because for no reason.
You know, I don't know in particular, but I have a suspicion that there's a whole lot of what the TSA does probably is wasteful and just theater. And I could be wrong about that. But
no, you're not.
A sort of a gut feeling. But I wonder, every time I go through airport security, are we keeping this around past its its value after we know that it's not worth keeping around just because of the sunk cost fallacy? I don't know, but it seems like that's one of those things that would fall in line with this sort of thinking.
Well, there's also the CYA fallacy, which is you don't want to be the guy who says, let's get rid of that, and then something happens and people go, oh, you see, you're at fault.
See, that's both of those things are a great example of that. You know, we are not purely rational, logical creatures who proceed from evidence. We are flawed. We have minds that work in a particular way, and that way is not only flawed and irrational and weird, but it's predictably so. And that's why I like to write about this stuff. I think it's time that we added all of this stuff to sort of the instruction manual of the human mind. We keep informing ourselves about things like trans fats and the power of gluten, cholesterol, that kind of thing. But it's just as important in my mind that we all become fairly literate in the concept of biases and heuristics and fallacies. And that's why I love writing about that stuff.
You know, you just mentioned one, gluten. People think, oh, I'm hearing about a lot of people going on gluten-free diets and they say they're feeling healthier and they're losing weight. 99% of the people who are now on gluten-free diets do not need to be on gluten-free diets. But they heard about it, you know? Maybe it was on some TV show. The women on The View were talking about it, so it must be true.
It's a good example. I mean, the number of people who need to be free of gluten, who actually have a allergic reaction to it, is kind of small. If you think of it as across an entire population, but the overall diet that people get on when they avoid gluten is a healthy one, and so any benefit you get from that diet is really just from being on a nice diet. And but you can pinpoint that maybe it's because of the gluten that you're feeling better. And it's that's a really good example of post hoc rationalization. That's,
David, I saw gluten-free ice cream in the store the other day. Who are we fooling here? The book is called You Are Now Less Dumb, How to Conquer Mob Mentality, How to Buy Happiness, and All the Other Ways to Outsmart Yourself. David McRaney is the author. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
That was a great pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend. It's not a fallacy. We're on the air every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks, and we thank you for listening.